What's that?
The resident prima donna. Every rink has one.
Gross.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 19, Fire and Ice. Fire and Ice. All right, everybody. Here's your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Are you ready to talk about the thrilling world of Olympic hopeful figure skating?
I am ready to talk really fast about a lot of things because I'm drinking coffee and eating candy corn. Happy Halloween, everybody.
We are in
I
fact-
also have a lot of like really weird little side notes about this episode, which is quite a bit more boring than I remembered.
Yeah, we always say that, and then every podcast is like the same way because there's always the same amount to say about it. Oh, the show. I feel you. Let's get into it. Starting with the B story, Deidre, the retail scumbag. As we recall, in the Christmas episode, Brenda got hired as extra Christmas help 2 days before Christmas. That's real useful, Deidre. Good planning. She is now that it's the new year still working there. And when we join her, she's giving Cindy or has just finished giving Cindy a hoary makeover with makeup from the store. And, let's hear a little bit of Cindy's reaction in clip number 2.
Apricot Temptation. Perfect. That's the one.
I don't look too much like Madonna.
Oh, I don't know. It depends on what Madonna looks like this week.
Drink. That just reminded me of, Walking and Talking when she shows up at the front door after her like pre-wedding makeup test. She's like, she just kept curling and spraying.
I look like a drag queen. Yes. Dear listeners, if you've never seen the movie Walking and Talking, rectify that immediately. It is so, so good. One of my favorite movies of all time, I will venture to say. Anne Heche and her. Really the reason that I still like Anne Heche, despite everything, because she is so good in that movie.
Me too. And very cute young Liev Schreiber.
Oh,
and,
very cute.
Watching, if you like Playing House, you will love that movie.
Yep.
And it will explain many random little sound drops that Tara and I do without even realizing it, like "Hello, cookies."
Life is short. She likes to eat. Moving on from Walking and Talking, this is not the Walking and Talking podcast, alas.
Just call him the ugly guy.
So the guys come home from wherever they are. They don't notice Cindy's new look because they're men. Wah wah, boring. meanwhile, Brenda loves Deidre. Has a lot of pride about how well she's been doing at the store and manages to get Cindy to make a pity purchase which Deidre shits on later when they are out for, I think it looks like breakfast before they open the store. Would never happen, but whatever. Here's what they discuss in clip number 3.
$20. You could only get your mother to buy $20 worth of cosmetics. You don't know my mother. Oh, I bet I do. I bet she's a Midwestern traditionalist. Strong family values, not much makeup, not much jewelry. Probably clips coupons. Am I close? Now, why are you looking at me like that?
The only reason my mother bought anything was because she knew I'm saving up to buy a car.
Brenda, you're not listening to me. What did I tell you yesterday?
We're not selling shoes, we're selling self-image.
Exactly. And you have got to think like a shrink baby. You've got about 3 seconds to size up every customer that walks in that door. You have got to ask yourself, how do I sell this one? What makes them tick? Do I appeal to their ego? Do I bully them? Do I go to bed with them? Oh, I'm kidding.
There's so much to learn.
Brenda, this is not something that you learn. Either you have the instinct or you don't.
And you think I've got it.
I didn't hire you to fill in at Christmas out of the goodness of my heart.
Oh, Deidre.
Jesus.
I will say this for that speech, though. I do think it's kind of true that you either are good at sales or not. I'm not sure it's something that can be taught. No?
Yeah, I think that's true.
But I also think in one of those stores, the kind of women that are going to come in are primed to buy things anyway. And it's probably not that hard to manipulate them into picking up things that they wouldn't otherwise, perhaps. As we hear in clip number 4, when Brenda is waiting on Kelly and Donna.
Look, you guys, you've been here for over an hour. There's got to be something here you like.
How about this one?
Oh, that's not bad.
It's perfume.
Yeah, great, cash or charge? Wait, how much is it? Well, it's sort of expensive. $190. You're buying self-image.
I cut a gif of this moment of Brenda looking over her shoulder at Deidre, totally disapproving of her not going for the hard sell with Donna. But Donna also proves my point, which is she just wants to buy the thing. She doesn't even look at the price tag, which I have to think is like at least 50 or more percent of the customers that come into this store.
Well, and Donna and Kelly have been written to this point as like whatever their other problems, they don't have to care about money.
They don't.
Like, $190 is ridiculous for perfume, even if you don't care about money. But if you don't care about it, you don't care about it. Like, if you're there to shop in support of your friend's commissions, then just buy some. I don't know. It's dumb.
Yeah. But also, $190 is a lot for perfume today. Like, never mind over 20 years ago. That is a crazily high amount for perfume, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I agree. I wouldn't buy it either. But, I mean, you and I have different shopping ways.
That's true.
Some people.
Did I spend $190 shopping online yesterday? Maybe not on perfume. Anyway, moving on. I'm not on trial here. Later.
Was it M&M's? Do we have $190 of M&M's coming our way?
I'll tell you off the air.
That would be pretty hard to do.
Probably not. You could go to the website and get the ones that are like embossed with your name and stuff. The special occasion ones. You can get ones that have your picture on them and stuff.
I imagine it costs more to have them sent to Hawaii because they have to put the like ice pack in there. And
that's true.
That's another $5, but why are we talking about this? We gotta move on.
Moving on. Brandon comes home from wherever he was. Brenda forgot that he was going to come and pick her up. She walked home and she is depressed. And we find out why in the hilarious clip number 5.
Ma'am, it's not her fault. And it's not Dad's fault. I'm sure they did the best they could.
What are you saying?
I'm saying I don't think they taught us how to succeed in the real world. I think they blew it when they raised us to be so...
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your problem.
Oh, that's what that is.
Both of you dickheads.
You just revised my dictionary.
That's all everyone's always saying when they talk about this show. Brandon and Brenda are just so nice. Anyway, I just had to clip that because it was hilarious. Brenda is not doing well at the store. She barely has made anything in commission. She knows that she needs to have more of a killer instinct. And so later, when David comes into the store, Deidre immediately clocks him as a rich, dumb mark. And Brenda, without saying that she knows him, manipulates him into buying the expensive perfume that Donna wanted. Deidre, of course, approves. And later, when David gives Donna her birthday present at the Peach Pit, she's dismayed by it because she knows how expensive it is. And Kelly pulls Brenda aside to scold her. But as Brenda points out, Donna has sprayed it on and David is smelling it. And they're both perving out right in the middle of the Peach Pit like everyone can't see them, including me. And then Brenda claims to Dylan that Kelly is jealous about how good Brenda is at her new job, which I'm sure that's it. Then later, Brenda misses
it. Pretty classic face from Luke Perry on that line, too. He's just like, true. Uh-huh.
Yeah, speaking of people who don't need to worry about money anymore. Later, Brenda misses an A-plot event to take inventory, and Kelly is snotty about it, which almost seems like it proves her point. But anyway, later, Brenda tries to give Cindy another makeover with a shit ton of makeup, and Brandon glares at her judgmentally, and they have this conversation in clip number 6.
What?
So you'll say just about anything these days to make a commission, is that it?
You know, Deidre predicted that this would start happening to me.
What?
I'm sorry that everybody is put off by the idea of an independent woman trying to take an aggressive posture in pursuit of a specific goal, which is to have my own car so I never have to depend on you for a ride to school again.
Oh, touche.
Okay, just back up for a second. Does Brandon not have a job where he works for tips? So why is he being so snotty to Brenda about like kissing up to customers? I mean, granted, it's their mom, but still.
Well, in that dad tone he always gets with her is gross. Shut up, Brandon.
Yes. So when we go back to the store with Brenda the next time, she has a huge amount of stuff for a customer. But then Deidre comes in from lunch or outside or wherever and swoops in and snakes her commission in clip number 7.
Deidre, what are you doing?
Joyce, you know what? Mm-hmm. Go pick up a scarf off that rack over there, huh? On the house.
Oh, thank you.
If you ring up that sale, you get to take on the commission. Well, Joyce has always been my customer. Yes, well, I waited on her for over an hour.
Look, sweetie, we are coming off the worst Christmas ever, and business is in the toilet. I have a car payment to make, and this is just the way it's going to be.
Is it wrong that I kind of take Deidre's side? Like, Brenda lives at home. She doesn't need this money.
Yeah, I mean, she's obviously wrong, but it's like, I don't know. Isn't she the owner?
Oh, I just assumed she was the manager. I didn't think she owned it. Oh,
okay. I mean, either way, like, welcome to the totem pole. Wait till she's not working and do it to the next person down. I don't know.
Yeah, seriously. Anyway, later, Cindy comes in the next day to wake up Brenda for work. Brenda is dispirited because of Deidre's scumbag move. She also says it was a $500 commission, so I can only imagine how many thousands of dollars worth of stuff it was if the commission is $500. Also, what her base pay is if it would be that high. I never worked retail. I don't understand how it works. Especially not at this high end. But anyway, Cindy says it's okay if Brenda wants to quit. But she also has an idea, which is don't get mad, get even. Then we get the clip that you may remember from the graduation episode where Cindy puts on all her $20 worth of whore makeup that Brenda sold her and a turban and goes to the store. And Deidre, of course, swoops in on her, assuming that she's a shopping whale. But after some... Cindy has piled up a huge stack of stuff. Everything falls apart for Deidre, who has to learn her lesson in clip number 8.
Now, are you taking notes on this? She is the kind of woman that we dream about. She knows exactly what she wants. She isn't afraid to shell out money for quality merchandise, and she has good taste, but not too discriminating. She's a very quality person, and she treats herself accordingly. And I'm also very proud to say that this looks like it could be the largest single commission in what is turning out to be a very good year. Now, watch how I button this down.
Too late. Oh, well. Okay, sirrah, sirrah.
Oh, it's a parking ticket.
Let us take care of that. And let me have the girl get you another cappuccino. Hmm?
No, thank you. You know, I'm standing here looking at this belt, and I'm thinking, I don't really need this.
No, I mean, it isn't you.
And I'm wondering if I need all those blouses.
I don't know. You just have such good taste. Why don't you just leave over there whatever you don't want, and I'll have the girl put them away for you.
And I really don't need the scarves. Or the shoes.
You don't?
No, I don't. No scarves, no shoes, no $100 wrinkle creams. And I really don't need you telling me how much you love my good taste, or how happy this will make me, or how great I'll look, or how much I deserve this, or how much I deserve that. And most of all, I really don't need you kissing my butt to pad your commission while you treat your employees badly. But thanks so much for taking care of this. You deserve it.
What a bitch. Yeah.
I love when Cindy gets to do stuff like that.
It's just nice to see Cindy out from behind the breakfast bar for once.
Yes, and wearing something other than khaki knee-length shorts hiked up way too high.
Although, where did she get that monstrosity that she was wearing at the store? It's like the Leona Helmsley Halloween costume.
My retcon for it is that she borrowed it from Jackie. That seems like something Jackie might
have. The buttons would totally back you up on that.
Especially the turban. Like, that might be something that left behind from like a weird photo shoot she did in her modeling days. But anyway, the jig is up and they never saw Deidre again. And I don't think Brenda has a job again until she like starts doing errands for Jim in college, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, or whatever, releasing rats from the testing lab. Yeah.
That's not a job, Sarah. That's a vocation.
It sure is.
anyway, that's the B story. Kind of a snooze, except for the Cindy kicker, which is kind of fun to watch. Deidre is so horrified. You can see a lot of this in the visual aids. Moving on to the A story, which is Brandon meets a figure skater. The latest in Brandon's many athletic endeavors, and there will be a totally different one next week, by the way, is that now he's on a hockey team and Jim is coaching. It's not clear if this is like some kind of community league or it's through the school or what, but Steve and Dylan are also on the team and they are terrible.
And we never saw it again.
No, it's true. Jason Priestley is Canadian and he's the only one who looks like he's ever been on skates in his life. I mean, granted, I'm sure the other two could be just acting. Steve or Ian Ziering is from New Jersey, so he probably skated at some point as a kid. He gets cold there. Yes.
Yeah, but they're skating and then there's having like 70 pounds of sweaty goalie pads on. Like, yeah. It's not. I feel like he did actually maybe know. Like, he hopped up. Maybe he was a goalie because he looked pretty convincing.
That's true. He does that hop thing that's that seems advanced. But yes, the conceit of the scene is that Brandon is great at skating and hockey and the other two aren't, but they're just, I don't know, going along for fun. And I am sensitive to Steve's awkwardness on the ice, given my own recent skating injury, not ice skating, but still. And then practice is over and the figure skaters take the ice. The boys obviously ogle because I don't know where else they would see girls in tight pants except everywhere. And then... the main one blows past Steve and he falls down and she apologizes, but it doesn't go so well in clip number 9.
I'm sorry. Are you okay?
I think I broke something. Yeah, he's fine.
Oh, but you're cut. I'm so sorry. It was my fault.
Ah, don't worry about it. You can run into us anytime.
No. Don't let her off that easy. It's a basic rule of etiquette. When the buzzer sounds, the real skaters are allowed to leave the ice before the charge of the ice brigade begins.
Oh, I see. We're talking about real skaters as opposed to what? Ice bunnies?
Hey, if the blade fits.
Spoken like a true stickman. You know, medical studies show that a 4-minute routine requires more stamina than a full period of hockey.
Oh, I see. So doing little spins and cartwheels, that makes you a real athlete? And can you prove this?
6 laps around the rink. You against me.
You're kidding, right?
Guys, she's not kidding. Several things to say about that exchange. First of all, I think what distinguishes the real athletes from the pretenders are that they don't pronounce it athlete. That's A.
And that they're not champing on their gum. He's so disgusting. Like, every screen grab was an even more brilliant, like, duh, shot of him. Like, I mean, he really is chewing it so hard. Like, I really hate this particular bit of blocking from Jason Priestley so much, and we see it so many times.
Yeah. Yeah, chewing it so hard, literally, as opposed to figuratively, as he is in most scenes. But anyway, the whole point of this episode is that Brandon is going to learn that figure skating is a real sport and he shouldn't be so snotty about it. But, you know, Brandon learning a lesson about not being snotty about things happens every week. So that's not surprising. Anyway, they end up having this skating race. For some reason, everyone cares and is excited and cheering. Brandon thinks Trisha let him tie her, but she says she's too competitive and wouldn't. And I just want to say for the record that this episode actually precedes the movie The Cutting Edge by 2 months, even though it's very similar storyline. So good job, 90210, for anticipating this one, I guess. Because I thought
also have a casting note about Coach K.
He's been in a million Law & Order is.
Yes, he's always playing that like polyamorous red herring orchestra conductor. On Law & Order. And here's an interesting thing. They name him Kluklinski.
Uh-huh.
And you know that guy, that serial killer who was always on the... he had like a whole series of HBO interviews with him. He had been convicted and...
No.
It was called The Iceman Confesses or whatever. And his name is Kluklinski. Huh. He was like a mafia hit guy. He killed hundreds of people.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Yeah. And I think those had started rolling out by this time. Anyway, little... trivia coincidence for you.
Yeah. This guy, I think, is supposed to, I mean, given the name, he seems like he's supposed to be Ukrainian or Russian or something. Also, that he's a figure skating coach, but like, he's, if you've seen him on Law & Order, and you have, because he's been on a million, he could be anything from like Belgian to Swiss to Portuguese. Like, he just seems like he's pan-European guy. Also, Dave.
He always is wearing a scarf. God bless you, Ronald Goodman.
and it's Paisley. Dave, yes. Did you notice anything about the girl's voice? Did you place her, the figure skater?
I wasn't listening, so oh. No.
It's Mrs. Byrne notice.
Oh, Anwar.
Gabrielle Anwar, yeah. Still not, wasn't good at doing an American accent at this point in her career. Did not get better by the time she got to Byrne notice either. Anywho's.
It's because her body was snatched. She was in the Basin Body Snatchers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So she lost her accent when she turned into an alien.
Fair enough.
Yeah. As you do.
The next day, Brandon is getting up at 5 a.m., which I guess is early for some people, and gets to the Ice Dome. Trisha is always there. She's already there stretching. It's not totally clear why he's there. We never saw any scene where after the race she was like, come and see me tomorrow or whatever. He just invites himself to her practice, which seems extremely presumptuous given that she's, you know, an Olympic training world-class or at least nationally ranked skater. And why would he just show up and think that was okay? But whatever. Suddenly she's in the middle of stretching. And then while they're talking, she suddenly like sits down. Like she just remembered that she's under a lot of pressure. This episode is not written great. But anyway, he asks her out. She wants to go, but her coach wouldn't let her. And then other skaters show up and she does ask him to stay and watch. And while he is, some other rink guy comes over and starts up a conversation with Brandon in clip number 10.
You Joey?
No, I'm Brandon Walsh.
Oh, so you're not here delivering a vending machine?
Yeah, sorry, I'm just a friend of Trisha's.
Oh, my little cutie pie. Ain't she special?
Ew. Yeah, she sure is.
She's got the fire and the ice. Little girls like that come along once, maybe twice a generation.
She works hard, huh?
She's going to be in the Olympics, probably. Can we talk about her like she's, you know, a big deal and not anyone's little cutie or a little girl, or that she should be congratulated for working hard? Like, this is effectively her job and something a handful of people in the world can do. Can everyone just, like, treat her with the proper respect, please?
And not for nothing, yeah. But I love that Brandon doesn't just say, like, no, I'm Brandon.
Uh-huh.
He says, I'm Brandon Walsh.
Yeah.
Like, rink guy is going to be like, oh, Brandon Walsh of the West Beverly Blaze. Shut up, Brandon.
A lot of parents read that paper. Yeah. So later, the coach notices Brandon and comes over to try and get rid of him. But before they get into it, they have this exchange that I set apart by itself in clip number 11.
Far cry from ice hockey, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot more to this sport than I ever realized.
That's the truth.
That last jump was fabulous.
Okay, Fernando.
Oh, fabulous. Anyway, moving on. I just had to stop after fabulous. Please continue with clip number 12.
No, her leg was slightly bent. She would have been marked down for it. In fact, this has been Trisha's worst practice in a long time. And you being here is not helping.
So is this your way of asking me to leave?
And don't take it the wrong way. This is not a personal slight on you. Trisha's very vulnerable right now. Yeah, she could be a world-class athlete, but in many ways, she's still a very naive little girl who needs to put all her focus on the skating without distractions.
You know, coach, it'd be real easy for me to walk out of here right now and never come back. And I know that that would make you really happy. But Trisha invited me here, not you. I may be overstepping my bounds a little bit, but...
Yeah?
I was wondering if maybe it's time somebody asked Trisha what she wants.
The deliberate skater.
The rink is haunted. By a tiny troll.
I don't know why the coach doesn't just be like, yes, I'm asking you to leave. Get out. Like, we are trying to work here. You're not just dicking around for your entertainment.
And, like, Brandon gives fuck one about what she wants. And, like, this is whatever, just Brandon being Brandon, but it's also the writing being really weird. Like, you met her yesterday. He's immediately an asswipe to this guy who is a foot taller than him. P.S. Like, really? Just leave. Go back to sleeping in.
Yeah, you don't have the right to be territorial about her under any circumstances, but especially not these ones. Like, he's kind of her boss. Like, if he says to leave, get out.
Also, just learn to talk to grown-ups in general. Starting with your own parents, but since that horse is already bitchily and tinily left the barn, how about you not talk to strangers who could step on you and kill you?
Or slash your throat open with their skates, perhaps.
Oh, boy.
Moving on.
The girl can dream.
Seriously, so later in the, when Brandon goes home, meets up with Brenda, and they're having the conversation about how they're too nice. Brandon's been having other thoughts about this as well in clip 13.
But seeing how determined she was got me to thinking back when I was 5 and everyone was telling Mom and Dad what a wonder whiz I was on skates.
Yeah, you were. It used to drive me crazy.
So what if they'd given me a little push, huh? A little formal training? Who knows? Maybe I'd be a speed skating champion going for the gold.
Oh, Brandon has just had so many opportunities to be great at everything he's ever tried. It's a wonder he's settled into what he has become.
I believe there's a clip about this later.
There is.
Like,
yeah,
we chose not to raise a little A-Rod monster. Hope that's okay with you. And actually means... I hope that's okay with you.
Well, and furthermore, just remember this exchange when we get to that clip later, because the way Brandon characterizes it here versus there is very different. Like, first of all, remember he said how great everyone thought he was when he was 5. Like, I know that's when some world-class athletes start getting, you know, recruited for whatever they're going to be doing. But, like, skating is not really the same as gymnastics or something. Like, that seems like a stretch that he would be a hockey prodigy that would be recruited into anything at age 5. Whatever.
Well, and it's not too late. He's still the same.
Short burn. So the next day, Brandon shows up at Trish's practice again. The coach is not happy that he didn't scare Brandon away, but he doesn't say anything at this point. Later, Brandon offers to drive Trisha home, and she has to defend her relationship with the coach to him in clip 14.
What's with that guy? He acts like he's your father.
Well, in some ways he is. There's not a lot of coaches in Fort Worth, so when he offered to take me on, I moved in with him and his wife.
And what about your family?
Well, my mom visits when she can, but I've got 2 sisters. And everyone's already given up more than enough to further my career.
Like what?
Trips to the rink at 6 a.m., traveling to competitions, new boots all the time, coaching, medical treatments, convincing me to stay with it.
You wanted to quit?
At least twice a day.
Well, obviously it's been worth it. I mean, you're trying out for the Olympics. I mean, I look at how motivated you are and what you've accomplished, and I feel like I've been wasting the best years of my life.
Wasting? How can you say that? At least you have a normal life. I've never had a date. I eat what I'm told. I've never been to a real school, and... well, a lot of people's futures are riding on how my career goes. That is a lot of pressure.
Team Trisha.
This is a legit question, not a sarcastic question. Would somebody at this level of figure skating coaching be based in Los Angeles, of all places? It seems weird to me.
I have no idea.
I feel like you would be more likely to be in a colder climb, but maybe not. Especially if she moved.
Well, but I think it can put a rank, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
Anywhere. I also don't think I understand why, if she was such hot shit, the coach wouldn't come to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm frankly not sure, based on my, whatever, repeated viewing of the 30 for 30 about Tonya Harding, which is the sum of my experience in this. And listeners, please update us in the comments.
But, yeah. If you know, let us know, because I'm not a figure skating follower. I know people are obsessive about this stuff who like it, so... that was a legit question. So they move on in this conversation to what she's going to do after skating. Like, she's 16. Should you give her a break? Maybe let her go to a couple of Olympics first before you talk about her retiring. She sort of jokes that, you know, she likes L.A. law. Maybe she'll be a lawyer. And then she asks him where he would be if he wasn't there. And he brings her to the Peach Pit. Where else? The only place he ever goes. Also, everyone is hanging out there, even though it's probably like 8 in the morning. They have this brief exchange that I love. Clip 15.
And of course, you know Dylan and Steve from the rink.
Much taller standing up.
I made a gif of this too. It's just one of those tiny moments where it seems like it's more Luke Perry and Ian Ziering like laughing at each other than the characters. I don't know. It's just nice when they get
together. Yeah,
to
no, it's
like
really
this.
Cute. Like independently of each other, we clipped it because it was like, oh,
it's very endearing.
Having fun. Yay.
And I was saying this yesterday when we were talking about that moment because I didn't notice it really until I went back to cut the audio clip. Not just that this is peak Dylan, Sarah is lamenting the fact that Dylan is about to start his real downward slide, which is true. But what I've noticed more than anything else in this rewatch is like how much more I like Steve and Ian Ziering than I did the first time through. He's very likable.
Yeah, it's really like relative to others. Like
true.
All the others. But yeah, he is very likable. And he really does. I had a boyfriend many moons ago named Steve, who people used to say looked like Ian Ziering, which he hated. But especially when he does that big smile thing, this Steve, very handsome fellow, hi Steve, had like a million teeth, Ziering style. And that particular gif that you cut is like peak joint Steve. And that's scenes from Sarah's life.
Moving on. Trisha invites everyone to go to sectionals, and then it's sectionals. Brandon has been, because he's been going and stalking her to all her practices, so he can tell every minute thing that she screws up that looks okay to everybody else. And then Trisha falls on her ass in the middle of her routine. Because I'm not a good person, there is a gif. It is called splat.gif. And in the crowd, Brandon and his cold sore are very dismayed and disappointed for her. Afterwards, Coach K is implausibly nice to her about this failure. Like, to me, that seemed, again, I'm not a follower of the sport, but based on what I know, again, also from documentaries about Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan, that's not really how coaches act, really. It seems like he's way too nice given that she fell. I don't know. Maybe not.
Or that, I mean, she probably finished sixth as a result. It's not like there's anything yelling at her would do.
That's true. She came in fifth, apparently. So her season is over, he says. And he suggests that she go home to Texas for a visit. And then Brandon blames himself for having been a distraction to her, which probably is legit. But she says at least, hey, now they can have a date. And they hug. And then Brandon is bringing Trisha to school to meet everyone, including Andrea. Andrea already knows who she is because she's a fan. And then this happens. Clip 16.
Oh, God.
So are you guys doing an interview? I think that's great.
No, actually, it's more of a date.
Oh. That's nice, too.
So, you want to come with us for lunch?
Well, I'd love to, but I really have to stay here and grease the lino type machine.
Oh my God.
Did we need another
euphemism? Like that creaking you hear is the opening of a giant chasm of despair. We're all falling into it and landing on Andrea's heart.
God. Also.
Oh, it's so bad.
That she forces him to say it every time. Like, oh, are you, like, she always thinks it's something other than what it is, and it's always a date, and she's always weird about it. Like, stop asking. After the fifth time, don't ask anymore.
And then stop letting your face fall down to your waist. Just stop.
But in terms of the end of that clip, I would say we did not need another euphemism for female masturbation, but now we have it, and it's greasing the linotype machine. So thank you, Andrea, for that.
Oh, gross.
Sorry. No, I'm not. I'm not sorry. Brandon brings Trish out to where the rest of the gang is hanging out in the hall, and they start talking about her diet in clip 17.
I didn't grow up in a complete bubble.
Although you are talking to a girl who's never eaten a Twinkie.
Sorry, it was part of the official regimen.
Oh my God, let me buy you your first Twinkie. No. You have to try salt and vinegar potato chips.
I think it's going to take major amounts of Haagen-Dazs.
Dim sum from Chin Chin.
Wolfgang Puck pizza. Gum.
Donna, gum is not food.
I don't care. Gum.
hashtag stuff. Also, I'm surprised that Dylan is mentioning dim sum from a chain restaurant. Like, that doesn't seem like it's cool enough for him to recommend.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, if he's going to recommend dim sum anyway.
Right.
I don't know.
Maybe they're very liberal with the cumin. But Brandon knows the ultimate food, and he takes her to a food truck to buy her the crappiest looking burrito I think I've ever seen. It's in the visual aids. Like, I love burritos. Everyone does. I'm not crazy. But that one in particular, considering that they're in LA, looks so anemic and understuffed. And
it looks off. You know, the Geico commercials with the Europe loves a final countdown thing.
Yes.
Microwaving a burrito. I think it's the same burrito, like literally the same one.
Yeah, it looks so dry. Like, even just the tortilla looks so from a supermarket shelf. Anyway, of all the burritos to give her, that one seems especially cruel, but whatever. She's happy about it. And later she brings Brandon to the rink. She says she always fantasized about spending her first date dancing, but somehow even she knows he doesn't dance. Like, she looked him up on his MySpace page or something. And then they skate around for 20 minutes, which that was fine, except that in the original, they were skating to I've Had the Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing. And instead, because they couldn't get the rights, this is the shitty substitute that plays instead in clip 18.
She's a lot like you.
All right, that's enough. We get the point. It's the shitty sub music is always terrible, but like, I've Had the Time of My Life. Admittedly, it's a very cheesy song, but it's actually like romantic.
I was gonna say that sounded like a Cars ripoff.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It does not fit at all. And later we'll hear exactly why they should have, like, maybe shelled out for the rights. It's like another Addicted to Love moment.
Yeah, I feel like they, was it the original song in the original episode or like a knockoff as well?
No, it was the real one.
You might as well say to yourself, I like this thing too much. That's the alternate version of Addicted to Love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you just mute it and sing along.
So then the coach shows up. Trisha got a waiver to compete at sectionals again. I don't know. I think keep saying sectionals. I don't know. Whatever.
I think whatever. Coach Kate whacked someone in the knee with a baton. And...
yes. Someone got galoolied and Trisha gets to proceed because of reasons. But she only has 5 days to get ready and they have to start tonight. So Brandon is visibly pissed because he's a child. Trisha asks the coach if she can just have another day before they start, but Brandon is martyrously understanding about it. And so she's excited to go and freshen up the routine. So the next day, Brandon gets up early again, leaving before even his own hockey practice. And when he gets to the rink, Trisha is in the middle of her team. Everyone is all in a tizzy. And the guy from before comes over to tell Brandon it's a closed practice, but that's not coming from the coach. It's coming from Trisha. So later at hockey practice, Brandon is very distracted and pissy at Jim. And we hear a little bit of that in clip number 19.
Whatever happened with that girl this morning? It's not the end of the world, is it? She was something special, huh?
Let me put it to you this way, Dad. I didn't even try to kiss her.
That is special.
Ugh, barf with this Hearth Angel bullshit. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So lame.
Vile.
Why is that special? I mean, I know why, but it's gross. So anyway, the conversation proceeds from there in clip 20.
Dad, let me ask you a question. When I was a kid and I was winning all those trophies at the Y, why didn't you and Mom encourage me to skate competitively?
We did encourage you. We just didn't push you.
Didn't think I could take the pressure, huh?
Brandon, you don't know this, but your mother actually had a meeting with one of the best coaches in the Midwest. And he asked us one key question. Do we want to have a superstar? Or do we want to have a son? I hope you're not disappointed with the choice we made.
I am.
I think I can live with it.
Oh, how magnanimous. Okay, so this is the clip that we were referring to earlier. So when Brandon was talking about his amazing skating career at age 5, it was when he was winning trophies at the Y. Like, is that really such a big deal that you can, like, hang a real potential Olympic career on? I feel like no, but, you know, I don't know.
The American Y is actually a pretty big deal.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't know where Olympians get recruited from.
Another bunting gotcha.
I've been bunted. yeah. So whatever.
Under the aegis of the pleated Avenger, I punk thee.
But anyway, Brandon's still moping about Trisha and continues to mope about her when she shows up at the Peach Pit, and we hear their last convo in clip 21.
I didn't want to leave without saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Dick.
Brandon, I'm sorry I closed the practice
today.
There's
no need to explain.
Well, yes, there is. It's not Coach or my parents or anyone else that drives me to do this. It's me. It's what I want. To be the best skater in the world. To go to the Olympics, to turn pro. To be a star.
What was I, a 2-week distraction?
You don't believe that, do you?
No, he doesn't.
Because it was okay with me. I was willing to show up at 5:30 every morning and take what I could get.
But how fair would that have been to either of us? You know, I'll always remember you as the guy who gave me my first burrito.
I'll always remember you as the girl. The
lady who gave him his first taco.
Who got me to dance.
So they make out, and then it ends in a barfy forehead kiss. All of that was terrible.
Yeah, I love how he's talking about how, like, the way he's talking, it's as though he's just now realizing that he was in an abusive relationship of some kind. Like, you didn't even French. It's been 2 weeks, and you're the worst thing in the world. Fuck off.
Yes, Trisha, you're so much better off. So sometime later, they're watching this competition that she's been referring to. So I guess it's 5 days or four. Brandon is watching on TV with Brenda and Dylan. She nails a jump. And then Brenda says this, clip 22.
How could someone so fragile looking have all that strength?
Fire and ice.
I mean, I said it already, but everyone stop being so patronizing about Trisha and her athletic ability. It's gross.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? With those quads?
Yeah.
She could pick up a truck. All y'all shut up.
Yeah. I mean, she and that actress was like muscly. If anyone saw her on Burn Notice, like she had fucking guns going too. She is not fragile looking at all. I mean, she was more so
really
than,
not.
But anyway, the camera follows Trisha off the ice and,
we never see her again.
We see, this is the last thing we see before we never see her again. Clip 23.
Trisha, congratulations. It's moments like this that make all the years of hard work and sacrifice worth it.
Definitely, of course it is. But to tell you the truth, I do miss those burritos.
Well, that wraps up the ladies' competition here in Salt Lake. A particularly strong ladies' competition. The young and upcoming Trisha Kenny.
I'm down my life.
Dylan, in response to this, does a hilarious fist pump, which I made a gif of to the visual aids. But again, like, because they couldn't pay for I've Had the Time of My Life, like, that's a callback to nothing if you've never seen this episode like, before.
Great. Also, you look completely depressed, so whatever.
All right. Let's wrap it up. Who is the most valuable player of the episode? Sarah, in your opinion? Oh, wait. We've got
Coach.
Sound cue. Go ahead, Dave. Coach. Yeah, that's my pick, too.
Yeah.
Even though no one heeds his advice, as they should, he is at least trying to make it. And from here, one would hope he's going to be a bit more forceful. Least valuable player. Brandon.
Yeah. I mean, with a dishonorable mention to the individual who put Steve in pants so pleaty and voluminous that it looks like he lives in Borough Park with all the other Orthodox ladies. Still Brandon.
That was a sweet reference. I'm sad that not more of
it. Really, I was like, what does that remind me of? And I was like, oh yes, usually someone wearing that attire is pushing a stroller.
Since Dylan has a very petite role in this episode, let's instead do the Brandon challenge. 5 ways Brandon could have died in this episode. Dave's got one.
No, I don't have one. I just wanted to say that was suggested by Curious Parker.
Thank you. The Curious Parker challenge. 5 ways from this episode Brandon could have been killed.
Skating while chewing gum, chokes on it, dies.
He did get his face injured by a skate blade. He has a like weird round scab in his cheek for a lot of the episode, which like I don't know how the skate blade even made that mark, but whatever. He could have cut his face open or his throat with skate blade.
He also has a creepy cold sore throughout the entire episode, which could get infected, give him sepsis and kill him.
Yep. Coach K could strangle him with his scarf or someone else's.
Jim could finally get sick of his shit and beat him to death for all the times he's talked to him like he's the dad.
With a hockey stick. Yep. Instead of with his fists. All right, we did it.
Yay! Oh, thanks for listening, everybody. This has been Again With This. Next time, all the sweatshirts were harmed in the making of Joseph Breilitzer's expose on steroid use at West Beverly.
Oh, God.
You can see what we mean in the visual aids for that episode and all the other episodes of Again With This at previously.tv. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at previouslytv. Our producer is Dave. He's at Glark. Tara is at Tara Ariano. And I'm at Tomato Nation. See you next time.
Hi. You know what to do after the beeparoonie.